Kazan, people have been making interesting combinations for centuries, mixing cultures, languages, architecture, and it's even located where two rivers meet. But what happens when you mix digital games with actual physical sports, something like digital? The answer is yes.
Kazan is preparing to host the first ever Games of the Future, a cyber contest with a physical dimension. Players are putting their online and real arena skills to the test as pioneers of the phygital movement. One of the innovators, Igor Stolyarov, is on the verge of redefining sports and gaming. He tells us what's behind this synergy and if it's the future.
We're not truly cyber sport, we're a combination.
It's a kind of a hybrid between what's happening in the real world and what's happening on screen.
This is the whole philosophy. You cannot achieve a good result in the digital while not having a good physical form. We're trying to drag them out of the computer from the, and get them on the field, get them on the pitch. Where we're basically inventing different kinds of sports, including the prolongation of the cyber sport within the physical reality and vice versa. We're experimenting with all kinds of things. The stakes are rising, the bets are rising. We're going into space with all this money floating around, and it becomes not a sport, but becomes a competition for money.
Igor, nice to meet you.
Hi, Sean.
This is unlike anything that I've seen before. It's a kind of a hybrid between what's happening in the real world and what's happening on screen. So what's the idea behind it?
The idea is, actually, this is the whole philosophy. This is the ideology. And there is a digital lifestyle already. I mean, we're living through that, we're breathing through that. There are, generations that are already very much encompassed by the digital lifestyle. But we're showing how beautiful it may be through the sports competition. And this is not just a pure aggregation. This is not just a pure combination of the different digital cyber sport and physical activity. Mm-hmm. This is the ideology. This is there is a certain logic behind it. So we're showing that you cannot achieve a good results in the digital while not having a physical, having a good physical form. Mm-hmm. That it helps in your physical activity while your cognitive skills that you're pumping through and you're accelerating and enhancing through the digital world, through the digital activity, they are helping your physical form as well. They're helping to sustain and they're helping to improve your physical activity skills as well. So it's very interdependent. Mm-hmm. Our core product is astonishing broadcasting picture in the YouTube or in the Trovo or in the Twitch or any other digital channel that you want to propel your picture. And that's it. I mean, the youngsters love it. The people who were doing traditional cyber sport, they said, wow, that's a new thing, the physical, let's try physical. The professional sportsmen who already either finished their career or very close to finish their career because of the age, they're classical sportsmen, right? They're classical athletes. They either already play in the cyber sport, in the corresponding, sometimes they play in the corresponding sports. If I'm a hockey player, then I play I play NHL, for example. But it does not necessarily mean that I play hockey in the cyber sport. I can play Dota 2, I can play PUBG Mobile, or I can play Valorant, or I can play League of Legends. This is all the titles of the different cyber sports. So it's different. And we are trying to instill the ideology that the people of the older generation, the professional sports, we're only doing a classical sport, they should not be afraid of trying it because it's fun and it gives you a new dimension, and so it gives you a new fresh air, it gives you a new sensation, et cetera, et cetera. But you don't have to persuade the youngsters to do that because they're already there. They're playing for 18, 20 hours, and this is a problem because, and the whole world, right, you know, there are research institutes that are trying to solve this problem. They're trying to get into the brains of the youngsters to understand how the behavioral skills are changing and evolving and they're being changed throughout the generation, as we see it. On the other hand, we're trying to drag them out of the computer from the, you know, and get them on the field, get them on the pitch.
Makes sense. So you mentioned that you didn't create digital sports, but is your aim maybe to create a whole new class, make it more mainstream, physical and digital athletes becoming something that everybody knows about?
Yes, because we're doing, the short answer is yes. We're actually creating the federation in Russia, and that's going to be the first digital federation. So do we want it to make, do we want celebrities to participate in the digital sport? Like those celebrities who are very much close in finishing their career as a classical sportsman, a classical athlete, they would love it. And we're offering them to prolong their professional career in the cybersport. And I've talked myself with some of the, you know, real, like a very, very good football, soccer players and the basketball players. And they said, why didn't you tell us before? Whether we will be able to create a professional league, that we'll see. But this is going to be commercial competition. Mm-hmm. So somebody, there's a lot of people that would you know, describe us as Olympics in the cybersport.
Right.
But this is not a pure competition. This is not a pure assembly of the different cybersport disciplines. Mm-hmm. This is a little bit more because we've created this digital thing,
right,
and we're doing it. In a pure cybersport, we're also doing physical activity. Mm-hmm. And the people are asking how. We're inventing the disciplines.
Right.
So if it's a Dota 2, we're going to be inventing the mirroring classical discipline, like the people would run and jump and do something. And we call it so far, and the scenario is not there, is not finished yet, and we're not going to reveal it before we actually do that, mm-hmm, not to lose the secret and not to lose the intrigue, but we call it a fantasy classic game where the people would run on the same map. So we are creating, by the visual projection, we're creating the same map, mm-hmm, as if they are in the computer game, mm-hmm, in the Dota 2, with all these fantasy dragons flying and different creatures creeping around you. And then you have to survive in this kind of environment, but already physically. Mm-hmm. So that's what we do in the traditional cyber sport. With a cyber sport, like basketball, hockey, and football is much easier because the people are doing cyber sport and then the physical part.
Right.
But there are also lots of questions that you need to ask, you need to answer, because whether it's, what are we, more traditional sport, or are we show? Are we more commercialized, or do we want to instill more like a social factors to turn youngsters into, to drag them out of the computer and make them?
And then there are some people who are gonna,
it's a combination.
Yeah, there's some people who are going to think that it's just a scheme. But that's not my assertion, right?
Right.
What I want to know is, you mentioned professional athletes who asked you, why didn't we do this before? Who are these new digital athletes, and how do you train them for something that's never been done before?
We came to know that there are lots of digital teams that actually already exist. They were not aware. Well, they were not aware they're digital. Mm-hmm. They were digital. They are digital right now. There's a lot of people, there are a lot of teams that are playing Mortal Kombat after, or Tekken or Street Fighter, all this, you know, the fighting stuff after they actually fight or do the training and the MMA and the boxing on the martial arts things. Well, all of them, well, not all of them, but I would say 90%, a good 90% of them are doing the same in the cyber sport once they've done something on the actual octagon or in the ring. And to make them compete into that, they were not aware. Now we've made them. Now it's not that we're made. We offered them the opportunity that they compete, but in the both disciplines. As a lot of footballers, there's a lot of athletes in football that actually play FIFA after or before. And we just make them aware. Mm-hmm. And we've set up the circumstances, the conditions. We've invented the whole equity, what we call a sport equity, for them to compete. If the format is successful, mm-hmm, if Games of the Future 2024 in March is successful, mm-hmm, then we're going to have a qualification, a full-fledged qualification. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a schedule in different disciplines, and you have to qualify to be able to compete in the gym, mm-hmm. in the games of the future. We call that test events, the Phygital Games. Mm-hmm. It has a brand name, Phygital Games. Mm-hmm. Now, the top-notch competition, the culmination of the whole thing is going to be called Games of the Future.
Okay.
And it's going to happen on the 1st of March. The launch is on the 1st of March, 2024. And this is like an Olympics where we combine all the disciplines that we've tested two or three times before, 2022 and 2023. For the 2 years, we're going to be testing that.
So we have some time to move forward to that. I'm interested in seeing what else we had. Do you mind showing me around a little bit?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, go ahead.
Cool. Let's go.
There's lots of hot dogs up there.
So you come from a cyber background. What made you decide to give phygital sports a try?
I really like hockey. I wanted to try the professional sport, not just the virtual one. The phygital format lets you experience it differently. I really like the way it's presented as a show, how everything looks. It's a unique format.
Now, are there players who are good at both the virtual world and also good on the ice as well?
There's plenty of players like that.
What makes a player good at both?
What makes them good at both is that they understand the game itself. They also want to excel at both, and that drives them. I'm better at the cyber sport. But after I tried phygital hockey, I wanted to play the real game and practice more.
So, I know that physical athletes have to do intense training, and we know what that regime looks like. We've seen it on TV. But what do you as a cyber player do to train and stay in shape for the game?
I don't play that much. A couple of hours a day is enough. I can take 1 or 2 weeks off. I just understand the game very well, and being in front of the computer for a long time isn't a big problem for me.
I had the opportunity to speak with hockey legend Igor Larionov, and he said that in the real game of hockey, on the ice physically, you have to have creativity in order to be successful. Is there room for creativity in cyber sports?
Of course. In fact, I think it's one of the most important qualities for a player. Every player chooses their unique approach. Creativity is a must, both in cyber sports and real hockey.
What about the excitement that you feel when you're in a professional game? Is it the same professional excitement when you're playing on the ice as if you were playing the cyber sport, or is there a different feeling between the two?
For me, it's the same excitement. As well as winning in cyber sports, I want to show I'm good at real hockey, that I'm not only a cyber athlete. I want to be useful to my team.
What is the most important thing that you want people to know about this new discipline of phygital sports? What's in it for you?
It's great to watch. I would be thrilled to be in the audience. It's a great spectacle with lights and music. Everything's lit up, very beautiful. And it's a very dramatic sight with high-speed moves and impressive shots. Really cool.
All right. Thank you for taking the time.
Thank you very much.
I can imagine it takes a lot of training and specific skills to get ready for a tournament like this. Can a professional hockey player be both professional on ice and in the cyber world?
Well, it's possible, but my cyber skills are a bit lagging behind. We train specifically for this tournament. I've mostly trained to perform on ice, so I have a long way to go in terms of virtual play.
In essence, does the combining of these two sports change the essence of the game?
These two parts blend together to make up a new game. You need to play the cyber part, and then you go out on the ice. And you need to have balance to make sure the two parts are equally strong.
Cyber players, they need to be in sync. Hockey players need to be in sync. Are they the same type of skills?
Yes, you work as a team. There are three players. Each of them is responsible for their own actions and also tactics, both defensive and offensive. It all needs to be aligned. And we also communicate while playing virtually, just like we do on ice, giving each other tips and all. You need to have good communication.
If I can ask, why did you get involved with this?
I wanted to check out this format, and it turned out to be great. The way this is organized is top-notch. We never had any doubts when we agreed to take part, and it has been a thrill since. Now we're going to fight and win.
So, Igor, there's a lot of attention now coming into cyber sports and cyber games, and there's international competitions, a lot of money going into it. Where do you see Phygital Sports fitting into this bigger idea of cyber sports?
As I said before, we're not truly cyber sport, we're a combination.
Right.
Cyber sport is anyways there. There are still lots of cyber sports within the equity that we're creating. But Phygital is something different. We want the Phygital sport to be as popular as possible. That's why we're doing the federation, as I said. That's why we want to grow the funnel as wide as possible. That's why we want to simplify the rules. And as we see here, it's hockey. It's already simplified. The rules are simplified, but it's endorsed by the Federation of Hockey, Russian Federation of Hockey. However, some experts would tell us that we even have to simplify it even more to grow the base for the mass sport. Mm-hmm. So think and remember how you played hockey while you were a kid.
Right.
Okay? No offsides.
Right.
No face-offs. Clean time. More like, it's the philosophical question that we're still have not decided for ourselves yet. And through this test events, we're trying to solve it. We're trying to really get down to the bottom, whether it's more show element or more sport element. And we're trying to do the combination of both, but we're still testing the ground in terms of the finding the optimal solution, the optimal equation for that.
Right.
But we want to have this as wide as possible, for the masses.
Right.
It should be a mass sport.
Nikita, congratulations on your win.
Thank you.
So talk to me, what does a Phygital training session look like?
The physical training is the same. The drills are the same, but the rink is smaller. For the cyber part, we have professional cyber athletes who have all the necessary skills and can teach their less experienced teammates the ropes. My role as a coach is to keep discipline, so everyone listens to each other and improves.
We know that cyber players have their own set of skills. Hockey players or physical players have their own set of skills. How do you strike a balance when you're training your team?
Playing virtually is different to being on the ice, obviously, but as I've said, we have great gamepad players, so we don't have any difficulties. Sure, virtual training seems like it's easier physically, but as far as emotions are concerned, you know how people get frustrated. You see them throwing controllers in anger. So it's important to keep that to the side and suppress those emotions. When it comes to the physical part, all our players are professional athletes, so everything's going smoothly.
Still, there are some players that are going to be better at the cyber part and some that are better at the physical part. How do you, as a coach, handle that?
We understand each other. We trust each other. So it's fine to have cyber athletes on the ice or hockey players at the monitors. Our main advantage is that our cyber athletes are former professional hockey players. They'd played on ice for years, and at some point, they decided to try cyber sports. So they're still good on the ice, but they've also mastered the gamepad. They carry us to a certain extent, and for that, I'm grateful.
One question I have is hockey, basketball, these are things that make sense because these sports actually exist.
Yeah.
But on the digital side, you have fantasy games with...
We call it fantasy games, right?
Yeah, so you have fantasy games. How can you get these fantasy players involved into the physical world? Is that even a possible thing?
It's a good question. It's quite difficult. So basically, from the classical sport, if you are looking at that from the cyber sport, because it's a cyber sport, we are getting the professional sport, classical sport teams, and we're making them play cyber sport, mostly. That's how we pick the teams.
Right.
And the pure cyber sport, we call it pure cyber sport, like Dota 2, CSGO, Valorant, PUBG, et cetera, et cetera. We're doing more, we're picking up the cyber sportsmen and make them do the physical.
Right.
But even in those cyber sports, there's games where people are trying to survive and doing other things.
Right.
You have games that translate for those people as well, those people who are interested in a different type of a sport than hockey or basketball.
Yeah, yeah. So, but how we do that, we're inviting the experts. We're having the regular running committee, so to say, where we're inviting the people from the cyber sport, the people from the classical sport, the people from the media, the people who do the show, all the different kind of people. We call it a lab, laboratory, where we're basically inventing different kinds of sports,
right,
including the prolongation of the cyber sport within the physical reality and vice versa. We're experimenting with all kinds of things, like in the laboratory circumstances, so to say.
Have to ask, a lot of people think about cyber games and just gaming as interchangeable. They don't really understand the difference that there is such a thing as cyber sports. And the attitude that people have about gaming in general is not always the most healthy. How do you change this attitude and this perception with the general public?
Cyber sport is a real sport. You have to have really proficient skills to be able to compete in the real competition for the cyber sport. It's really sport. It's if there's a set of skills that are required for the cyber sport athletes, it's enormous. You have to be good in the physical condition as well. We talked about that. But, you know, there are two different markets, and the people sometimes mix these two different stances. There's a video gaming market, which, as I told you, I think it's something like it's estimated, there are different rates of estimations, it's estimated as $200 billion. And the cyber sport layer on top of that is $2 billion.
Right.
So the private game developers, they are growing the cyber sport layer up to a maximum. They are making the role models out of the professional athletes,
right,
to drag out, to drive the sport, the video gaming market, and to gain super margins. And they're investing in the cyber sport athletes. That's how the economy works. That's very primitive, but basically the equation is like that. You have to have a certain and very specific and very, very specific sets of skills to be able to compete as a professional athlete.
Right.
Once you are doing this kind of competition like we are doing, you're always having a choice either to invite the tier one teams, traditional tier one teams that has been able to compete in the other competitions like that,
right,
or to really go for digital, which is to select carefully those people who are having like physical and digital skills as well.
Right.
We want to do both because we also want to have what we call another pillar in our competition, which is due in February or in March. We're actually starting in the 1st of March in 2024. We want to also grow specific gamers for the Russian games.
Okay.
This layer is non-existent or very, very thin right now, but we're trying to trigger the different, let's say, industry or sub-industry to also grow this market.
Right.
There is a major difference. There's a major inflows or outflows. There's a major difference with the video gaming industry and the cybersport industry. However, they are very much interdependent because you cannot have this without that and the vice versa.
Understand.
So that's what we do.
You mentioned the economics about everything. And what I know is that not that long ago, 2010, let's say, the prize money for these international competitions for cyber sports was only about $40,000. Now, it's in the millions of dollars for cyber sports. Is this the global trend of the future or is this a bubble?
$40,000, you mentioned 2010?
No.
And then 2021, November, the international, with the Russian team won, Team Spirit, they brought to Russia $18 million out of the $40 million that was the prize fund for the international. Yeah, it's a global trend, first of all. So the stakes are rising, the bets are rising, and overall the level is going up. Whether it's good or not, maybe not, because it's been overinflated a little bit, and everybody's talking about that. I mean, the experts are talking about the cyber sports that may be overinflated. We're going into space with all this money floating around. Mm-hmm. And it becomes not a sport, but becomes a competition for money,
right,
which is not good for sport.
We can argue that's happening in sports as well.
Yeah. But the thing is that with digital, we are not going out of the range, because we've claimed that we're going to have $25 million as the overall prize for all the games. So it's much less than the international, which is giving away $40 million, or much less than the world's, that is given, I think, something like $18 million, or much less than the major, which is another homogenic championship for the cybersport, which is, I think, something like $15 million. I mean, for the start, I think this is inevitable. We're buying the market, we're buying attention, we're shortcutting the distance to get into the, as we said, mainstream. We want to be in the mainstream. And that is exactly why we're doing this thing. But we want the crowd to be international. That's why we are inviting as many people as possible. In these circumstances, we're not targeting the West, explicably so. We're always saying we're open architecture. We're not blocking the US teams to come. We're not blocking the Europeans to come. We're open. Welcome everybody. Welcome the whole world. However, we're right now working on the test events, especially on test events. We're working more because it's easier.
Right.
To work with Asia, with China, Middle East, Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, and then you have everybody. You have Southeast Asia, you have lots of these countries. If you're working with Indonesia and China, then basically you're working with the half of the world,
right,
half the world's population. But for the picking up the teams and to work with the publishers, it's easier for us in the circumstances to work with the Asian. However, as I said, we're very much welcome.
Igor, it's a big idea. It's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out. Thank you very much for taking some time.
Thank you.
Showing me around.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Looking forward to it.